This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you fill the scriptures with an awareness and a commitment to one another. May we love one another, be devoted to one another, live in harmony with one another, accept one another, serve one another in love, put up with one another, be kind and compassionate to one another, teach and admonish one another, encourage one another daily, offer hospitality to one another. May you give us the grace to continue to love one another as you have loved us. Amen. Good morning, and a happy Valentine's Day weekend to you all. If you heard rumors of the rector dancing to things like the Hokey Pokey and the Macarena last night, it's not true. We always get these ironic situations on a weekend when we celebrate love, and last night we had our big marriage renewal ceremony, and the church gives us a gospel about leprosy. At first glance, it seems like there is no fit whatsoever. But when we look at what Jesus is really doing in this gospel today, boy, is there a fit not only for our relationship of marriage, for those of us who are married, but the relationship that we have one with another, period. That laundry list that is the one another's of Scripture that I just shared with you in the prayer is only a small portion of all the one another's that are in the Scripture. If you ever want to do an interesting study, just look at all the things, to do a Google on it in the Bible and see all the one another's because of the call that we are to be in relationship one with another. I want to talk about two things today. I want to talk about the ways in which we shield ourselves from germs, and I want to talk about the ways that perhaps we are called to be more agents of growth. I don't know about you, but it seems that we are growing, to me, more and more into a society concerned about germs. I told the story at the early service that I always go to the YMCA, and I love it there to exercise, but then when there was that thing that was going around with that, whatever the virus was, they came out with this rule that, first of all, everybody had to have a towel if you were going to work out. Then they came out with one that said, after you use each piece of equipment, you have to wipe it down. That wasn't enough. They came out with another rule that you had to use this spray, and you use the spray, and you spray down the equipment. And now I notice that when you go there, they even have those little hand sanitizer things that when you come in and out of the workroom so you can clean your hands off. Now, I have no issue with that whatsoever. I love the why, and I understand those medical issues, so don't get me wrong. But it starts me thinking about, you know, the other ways that we seem to insulate ourselves. Let me bring it to the gospel. The people had insulated themselves from this leper. If you recall from the times we talked about leprosy in here, it was the most degrading and isolating disease you could possibly have. You were ostracized from your family. You were ostracized from your society. You were ostracized from any human contact. As a matter of fact, you had to keep a certain distance from people, and if you noticed that you were getting closer to them, you had to shout, unclean, unclean. Some people had to wear bells around their necks so that you knew the leper was coming and stay away from me. They had isolated themselves from these people. Now, maybe they didn't know better in those days. They thought that they could catch that disease from touching this person. But can you imagine the supreme isolation that those people would have experienced? Now, here comes Jesus. What's the first thing he does? He touches him. Realize the impact of that. All of those people around Jesus, his followers and his disciples, they had to be just horror-stricken. Oh my gosh, we've just given up everything to come and follow him. We're still in the first chapter of Mark here. And this guy is touching a leper. Now he's going to get it. Now this whole thing is for naught. Jesus, what are you doing? But Jesus doesn't care. Moved with compassion. Key phrase in this gospel. We don't have a corresponding word or phrase in our English language that helps us to get to the root of what that really means. It was such an incredible feeling that came out of Jesus for this man. One of the scripture scholars I read on this says, the only way he can get in touch with what Jesus was doing here is to say that in the moment when they met eyes, all of the years and the memories and the pain of isolation that that man had were transferred into the mind and heart of Jesus. And in that moment, Jesus, moved with all of those years and that memory that was now his, was correspondingly moved to go out and to reach out in compassion. Wow. That's an incredible thing. Now, we don't have leprosy, I don't think. I don't think there's anybody in our church that has it. But there are things about each one of us that tend to isolate us from each other and tend for others of us to isolate ourselves from the other person because we don't want to get exposed to it. What Jesus is doing here is giving us a model for reaching out to other people. And you know what? It means it's not about me. It means it's about the other person. That's what that first reading we heard today was about, Naaman. Wouldn't you think he'd be so thankful that the prophet's going to heal him? And yet, no, he wants a big show. Send Elisha over here. Why don't we go do this Jordan River? That's dirty. Let's go to one of my rivers that is more nice and more beautiful. We'll get a bigger crowd. This is going to be a big show. It's all about him. I ran across an incredible film clip that perhaps you saw this on the news. And it really brings home to me what Jesus is doing in this gospel. It's the story of a young man by the name of Patrick Thibodeau, who was a senior in high school who suffers from Down's syndrome. He was the manager for the high school basketball team. And so for those years, he was filling all the water bottles for the guys and everything else. Well, the time came for the final game of his senior year. And as you know, if you've got high school kids or have had them, they have a senior night when the parents come and the players go onto the court and give flowers to the mothers. And it's the last game that the seniors play. Let's watch this clip and see what happened for that last game.
And now to a story out of Maine that is sure to tug on the heartstrings. Almost every child dreams of becoming a star athlete, making that clutch game-winning play. But for Patrick Thibodeau, a high school senior with Down syndrome, just stepping on the court was as important as winning. His story from Jason Wheeler of WCSH, the NBC affiliate in Portland, Maine.
Senior night at Greeley High School features a simple little ceremony. The parents of each Greeley senior are announced. For a moment, they share the court with their star. The mom receives a red rose and the family a group portrait. But for Patrick Thibodeau, this is a very special night. Patrick has been patrolling the sidelines at Greeley for 9 years, watching the game he loves.
He's just been such a part of the program and has been part of the kids' lives that as a senior athlete, as a senior night, we just thought it'd be a good idea to try to get him on the floor.
Patrick plays with the team in the summer and runs drills in practice during the season. He also keeps those water bottles full. But to play, Patrick needed to replace someone in the starting lineup. Sam Thompson offered up his spot.
He comes to practice every day, you know. I mean, he comes to every game. I mean, he works really hard, and he just deserves it. I mean, if I could just help him have a special experience tonight, I'll do whatever it takes.
And everything was in place for Patrick's big night. That's when the Thibodeaux and the team got some unwelcome news.
Patrick's dad almost couldn't be here 2 weeks ago. Perry had a stroke. Doctors weren't going to let him out of the hospital. But they told him what the situation was, and they said he could come.
But what happened with Perry when he came out of the stroke, when he came to, that was his first thing, is that he wants to see Patrick play.
Perry is also one of the team's assistant coaches. He made it to the game just in time to share that moment at center court with his son. And after that, it was time for Patrick to go to work. The Rangers came out looking for Patrick. He got open and took his shot. It was no good, but he hustled back on defense. His dad still coaching.
Patrick, watch where you're going. Within the ball.
About a minute later, though, Patrick would get his second chance.
Kind of surprising to me. I wasn't sure who had the ball just sitting way down here. But when I saw the ball go up, everybody stand up, I knew what was happening. And I said, yeah, that was Patrick. I knew that was Patrick. Especially when it went in. It was fantastic. Best feeling you could ever have in your life. You'll never know. I mean, become a parent and you'll find out why. Become a parent, you'll find out why.
The most amazing thing to me about that clip is the young man who was there for just a short time by the name of Sam Thompson. He was a senior too. He was a starter. It was his last game as well. He made the decision that it wasn't about him and that he allowed Patrick to play. Can you imagine how he felt when they had to stop the game because the applause was so loud they needed to call a timeout to settle things down? Wow. This is what Jesus does. It is what we are called to do. And it's not easy. Listen to these words from C.S. Lewis, a great Christian writer of our day. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrong and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The call for us is not to physically or psychologically or spiritually to insulate ourselves with any kind of protection. We are called to help others to grow in relationship. You know what we need? You know that miracle grow stuff they sell over at Home Depot? You put it on your plants, you put it on your trees, and poof, everything grows better. We need some of that stuff that we can pour on each other. Wouldn't that be great? And spiritually and emotionally and psychologically, we would all grow to our greatest potential. Well, we have been given that miracle grow. And it is to be people like Jesus is in that gospel today, of putting others first, of risking everything so that others might be healed. And the amazing thing is, we end up finding ourselves healed as well. One of my favorite Mother Teresa stories was one of her trips to the United States. She went to San Quentin Prison. And they were going to choreograph her trip and her experience for photo ops and everything else. And she said, no, I want to go to death row. And they had quite an argument about it, but as usual, she won. And so she went to death row, and she met a man there by the name of Michael Wayne Hunter. Let me share you what happened. One day, Michael was getting ready to spend some time exercising when the guard said, you're going to miss Mother Teresa. She's coming today to see you. Yeah, sure, he said. One of those designs they have on us. A little later, he heard more commotion about it and thought it might be true that Mother Teresa was actually coming to see him. Another guard said, don't go into your cells and lock up. Mother Teresa stayed to see just you. So Michael jogged up in front in gym shorts and a tattered basketball shirt with the arms ripped out. And on the other side of the security screen was this tiny woman who looked 100 years old. It was her. This hardened prisoner wrote about his experience. He said, you have to understand that basically I'm a dead man. I don't have to observe any sort of social convention. I can break all the rules, say what I want. But one look at this Nobel Prize woman, this woman so many people view as a living saint, I was speechless. Michael said an incredible vitality and warmth came from her piercing eyes. She smiled at him, blessed a religious medal, and put it in his hands. The murderer, who wouldn't have walked voluntarily down the hall to see the governor, the president, or the pope, stood before this woman, and all he could say was, thank you, Mother Teresa. But here's where it really happens. Mother Teresa turned and pointed her hand at the guard. She told the guard, pointing at Michael, what you do to these men, you do to God. The guard almost faded away in surprise and wonder. That day was a turning point in the life of Michael Wayne Hunter. He was cleansed by that experience. Life changed. Suddenly there was meaning. So drastic was the change that a new trial was set and the death penalty was not sought. The verdict was guilty, first-degree murder, but a new sentence was given. Life. Life without the possibility of parole. But Mr. Hunter was now a model prisoner and an award-winning writer. He became another thing, a testimony that Christ is willing to heal, still willing to touch the untouchable and to make us whole. He got life that day because Mother Teresa risked. A leper was cured in the gospel today because Jesus risked. Patrick Thibodeau had an incredible healing experience, as did everybody in that gymnasium, because Sam was willing to let somebody else be healed. And you know what the most amazing thing is? When that healing takes place, we have no heavenly idea of what is going to happen next. Last week, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. She got up and started waiting on everybody. This week, he heals this man and tells him what he's supposed to do. Notice he didn't do it. He was too excited to go and see the priests and keep it quiet. He goes out and tells everybody, what is going on? Share my joy. Wow. You never know what's going to happen when we risk out in relationship one to another. We're going to have an incredible opportunity at this church come Lent called the 40 Days of Love. It's a small group experience. It is also a 40 days devotional journey. We will have the books available for everyone who wants next week. I'm encouraging you all, if you are in a small group, I would like all of our small groups to be doing this series during the season of Lent. And I'm encouraging, even if you aren't in a small group, to continue or to be a part of one just for this 40 days. We all want to do something special for Lent anyway. Here's an opportunity. And in your bulletin, you will see a sheet. I'll go over it at announcement time. And you can sign up. Tell us when you'd like the group to be if you're not in one. If we can't find an existing group, we will try to form a new one. Relationships is what it's all about. Healing one another. It's going to be all about Paul's chapter in Corinthians on love. And you know, when he finishes that chapter and goes into the next chapter, he says, make love your highest goal. In another loose translation of that, in another version of the scriptures, it says, love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Here is the opportunity for us to spend some time as a community looking at those ways that God might be calling us to go out of ourselves a little bit more. Because you never know what's going to happen when we do that. Look what happens at the end of this basketball game.
Patrick sat on the bench enjoying his moment with the team. But then in the fourth quarter, with the game in hand, the Greeley fans started chanting for Patrick to get back on the floor. And with time winding down, he put an exclamation point on his night at the buzzer. Surrounded by teammates and friends, Patrick was carried off the court in this, his one and only high school game. He finished his career with 6 points. But it was the chance to be on the floor with his peers that made his dreams come true. For today, Jason Wheeler, NBC News, Cumberland, Maine.
Never know what's going to happen. May it be so for us. Amen.